Who's had a good holiday? Some people are still having a good holiday. But I must say, it's been one of those years where for the first time in, I think, a number of years, I'm more excited to be back at the beginning of the year. One would think that, shouldn't a pastor, somebody said the other day, but you only work on Sundays. Yeah, but I have to do other things now and again as well. I actually do work a slight bit more than Sundays. And yes, it is sometimes not that easy. But it's one of those years where I'm like, yes, Lord. Can't say I'm ever ready for this, but I'm looking forward to see what the Lord's going to do. So a very quick reminder, as I said in the intro, that we want to connect and we want to grow in love as a church. We don't want to do it any other way than the narrow way in which Christ calls us. We want to, and we don't get this perfectly right, believe you me, but we want to get back to the Word and make sure that as best possible, by the grace of God, we live out a Christianity that is authentic, that is real, that is evident, and that is scriptural. In other words, it's something that you read in the Bible. It's not this watered-down thing that you have. I showed Edna, I don't know if anybody here works for Oros. If you do, please don't sue me. But I saw in the Oros bottle today that if diluted, this is 6% orange juice. They actually put it on the print, on the label. Did you know that Oros is 6%, if diluted, orange juice? I would have thought it's even less than that. But here's the thing. It's going to make sense just now, I promise. But we don't want an Oros Christianity. I want those freshly plucked oranges that is ripe for the picking, that you can break open, that you can drink both the juice and the little pieces, which makes the juice much more expensive. But here's the thing. We want the real deal. We want the real vitamin C, the real Christ in life, not some watered down, culturally watered down, that is something, if diluted, kind of resembles orangey juice. We want the real deal. And I don't know about you, but I'm getting along in life. I'm getting old. And so I don't want to waste the time. A couple of times as I was meandering on what to preach on, I was thinking of the topic that you need to be wise. You need to count the days. You need to be wise about the time that you've been given. And I want to ask you, I want to implore you, I want to pray with you that we be wise with the time that we've been given in this year. That we'll be wise with our months and our weeks and our days and our minutes, and that we'll do so for Christ's sake. So let's be wise in this time to live a true Christianity. And that call, I think Tia mentioned it, that call, that thing that the Lord has handpicked you for, may we walk in that. So coming back to my real intro, this holiday was amazing. We went to some amazing places. We are deeply thankful for everything that we could experience. And so we had an amazing time down in Agulhas. And then we came home. We went to Azefontein with the family, with the in-laws. And we were so blessed everywhere we went. It was busy. We went to the beach. I've got a bit of a tan, believe it or not. I went for a couple of runs as a family. We spent good time together. So we can truly say that we were blessed, and I'm truly thankful for what we had. I had good quiet times with the Lord, but at a stage at Azefontein, I was saying to Edna, I think I've kind of had enough now. There's something missing here on my inside. I want to go home. Anybody ever been on holiday wanting to go home? If you're not at the in-laws, I'm just joking. They might not listen. It's got nothing to do with the in-laws, but it's got to do with our inside more than anything else. And at a stage, I was glad that we're going to pack up, we're going to go home. And so we went back home, thinking that we've had an amazing 2 weeks, and we're thankful for a week that lies ahead at home. And so that night we went to bed. I was so blessed with just being at home. It's peaceful, it's just things kind of work differently. Anyway, it was just good. But here's the thing, at 4:20 the next morning I woke up. But I woke up in such a way that I knew that this was not just run to the bathroom and go back to bed. There was something maybe godly about it. And so I knew I needed to get up and I needed to go spend some time with the Lord. By the way, I don't get up at 4:20 every morning to spend time with God. But that morning I did. And so I went to go sit on our stoop, had coffee, had my Bible and a devotional book of Smith Wigglesworth that challenges me quite severely. So, and as I sat down, immediately I just sensed the presence of God flood the room, flood the stoop. I just knew. It's difficult to explain, but if you've really experienced the presence of God, you will know what I'm talking about. And so I just sat there. And I just sat and now and again I would talk to God, in other words, pray, and I would maybe listen to a bit of worship, but more than anything else, I didn't want to disturb what was happening here. I'm back at home. I'm not in some larny fancy place. I'm not looking forward to some great meal, some amazing thing that we're going to do. I was just at home on my stoop, for which I'm thankful. But God just pitched. I was sitting there and just enjoying that. Didn't do much. Didn't tick all the boxes like read 3 Psalms and go through something in Matthew and try to dissect the Hebrew words. Not that I do that every day. I was doing absolutely nothing. I was just trying not to lose this place where I'm at in His presence. And immediately I just had this sense, this overwhelming sense that came over me, and I think I said it aloud. Jy is die antwoord. You are the answer. And I know I've been in ministry for 12, 13 years. I've been born again for 20 years. I should know this by now. But as I was just sitting there in His presence, I just realized everything that I've been looking for the last 2 weeks, you're it. You're better than the sunset. You're better than the meal. You're better than the beach. You're better than a good budget. You're better than all of those things. You are the answer. And I know this is tough to kind of wrap around and try to give it to somebody else. But I sat there for about an hour and a half. Praise God, the kids didn't get up that early. So I just sat there. Then I went into Scripture and I was just blessed by the presence of God. Knowing that He's the answer. Nothing else that I can go look for, yearn for, search for, scroll for could have hit the mark like He did. Nothing. I've tasted this before and I know by now. And I'm like, I was looking for this whole holiday. And I just say, thank you, Lord, for your presence. And I was just almost dragged back, ripped back, led back to a place where I knew this is what I want. This is why I do what I do. This is what I chose to follow Him when He said, follow me. This is why. Not because of the bells and whistles, not because of what other people say, not of any friend's benefits because there's so many when you're in ministry. No, because of Him. And I came back to the place that it's about Him and His presence. And that marked me. You want to ask me what was the best part of my holiday? Sorry, love, you're amazing. My family is amazing. Agulhas, top notch. Azefontein, heerlijk. Everything. But you know what was the best part of my holiday? Being back on my stoop in the presence of God. Yes, the coffee was good as well. But it's that presence that I tasted again when my Maker, my Father, my Savior, when I just met up with Him again for real, I knew this is what I need and I need more of this year. And I could repent for maybe not going back to that place. So being fresh, all fresh at the beginning of the year, I want to invite us to be again, maybe just to be reminded again, to be a people of His presence. Do you want to be a people of His presence?
Yes.
Do you want to be a people of His presence? This is the God that made the universe. He's the one that says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Christ is the one that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He was before time and He will be there when He catches us at the end of all of this. I want to be with Him more than anything. And I know this is maybe a long-winded intro, but again, the word says, taste and know that the Lord is good. And I had to taste again. So what is the presence of God? The presence of God is just simply His person. I can get all theological about it. Petri can do a much better job. But it's Him. It's just Him. You know, the Oros, we can get things so Christianized and run around in doing Christian thingies, but we need to stick to the original Him. His person. It's sometimes easier just to quickly grab some Oros and run on and think this is going to be good for you. Yet He waits. And he waits and he allows me to go through an amazing, thankfully amazing holiday just to bring me back home to tell me, I am. I am. I was just like, you are. And this is something that you cannot fabricate. This is not something I can't, as much as I would love to give it to other people, I want to give this to my kids. I want to like force feed them with this, but you can't. It's a heart's cry unto him. And then he comes and he pitches. And you know when you've been marked by the presence again of God. And by the way, this is not something the pastor has every couple of years. This is what we Christians, any Christians in the house, hands, any Christians, this is life for you. This is why we would be salt and light in a broken world, because we can meet with our Maker daily. In fact, we cannot only meet with Him on Retief Stoep, we can walk with Him. We can walk with Him. What a privilege. At the rate of this intro, we will never end. But hey, God is present. Hallelujah. So it's His personhood. It is that closeness, that love, that encounter we have with Him. We know we can only have it through Jesus. There is no other way. If you're new to church, if you're new to Christianity, there's no other way. We can chat about it afterwards, but Christ alone is the way on my stoop that I can meet with God through His Holy Spirit. We know that God is omnipresent. Who knows that God is everywhere all the time? You know that? You know that even though God is present, you are not present to His presence. Do you know that? Why? Because sometimes our hearts are adrift, or we are concerned by other things, or our focus is not Him. I love the fact that Hofmeyr referred us, brought us back to the main and only command, firstly and foremostly, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your strength. That's not that easy to do. But in all of that, it just grabs hold of this truth that we need to become present more in His presence. God was on that whole holiday. He was here the whole last couple of months, but yet I did not take out the time to go sit and to go wait with no other strings attached, no other things that I had to do. And in that place, the omnipresent God showed Himself to me as my heart was ready and I was aware of Him. I want to quickly ask you, how much are you aware of His presence? Because ultimately, I don't believe we need to be a people of performance, but of presence. Some of us might not even like me saying that. The doers in our midst. I'm sometimes a doer. Am I sometimes a doer? I'm sometimes a bit of a doer. But we are called to be a people of His presence, not of performance. But here's the thing. Once you have been in His presence, you will be productive. You will produce something if you've been with God. It is impossible not to produce something if you've truly been with God. If you want to stay in your home and on your couch more, if you've been with God, guess what? You've been with the wrong God. You've been with another God. That might sound pretty harsh to say, but we're going to produce something if we've truly been with Him. We're not called for dead religion, but we've called to be about His person. Matthew 7 says it's not on there, but he rebukes the guys. They say, but Lord, Lord, we drove out demons in your name. We healed the sick in your name. In other words, we knew spiritual power. We could move in spiritual power. And Christ will one day turn around and says, I do not know you. So please, let's not be fooled. I'm not saying fireworks. Fireworks alone does not know that you've been with God. Fireworks alone is not what... Yes, we would love to see the sick heal and demons being driven out. Amen? But from a place of knowing. A place of presence. A place where if only I have Him for the rest of my life, that is enough. If this church should be exactly as it is in 30 years and God has called me to become old and verrimpled here, a slight bit more, maybe less tanned, maybe jogging a bit less, but He is at the forefront of it all, then that is enough. Maybe He's asking a couple of us at the beginning of the year, this year, am I enough? Or am I still enough? Is my presence still enough? I would often ask Him about ministry and church and services, etc. And He would just pipe up and say, but I'm there. I'm like, oh. said to the kids, do you guess who's going to be at church today? Because they always want to know what family is going to be here, what friends are going to be here. Like, are they going to be there? Are they going to be there? Are they going to be there? Some of you make it really difficult for me because I'm never sure. But here's the thing. And we said, you're never going to guess who's going to be at church today. They're like, no, who? Ben and Leah. And they kind of run through the names. We like, we pipe up, we say, Jesus. They're like, near, Papa, near. He's altijd daar. And so I just realized that is Christ still enough? Is God's presence still enough? And I want to say that to you, even though we get these nice memes and these prophecies and this boom, 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 charismatic stuff, is God still enough without the boom, boom, boom? If I never move abroad, something that was a dream of mine, to see the nations change. If I never dig up a well, a spiritual well up in Europe. If I never do all of the things that I've dreamt about, will His presence still be enough? Oh. And now I can say yes, but sometimes we do get challenged because we have a carnal flesh that we need to deal with often. When last have you been in the presence of God except for this moment, maybe in worship now? Anybody, when last have you been in the presence of God?
Oh, God, the potato, it's going to be long here.
So, Hoffie, jy het onlangs vir God ontmoet. Dis goed om te hoor.
What was the result of that? Your offering message.
In preparation.
Yes, it obviously sometimes helps when we need something from the Lord, but that's also good.
Anybody, when last have you really encountered the Lord on your own? This week, this morning? It's not a competition or a hit and miss. I'm just saying, hey, we're a bunch of charismatic, on fire Christians, radical for Jesus. So we should kind of lose the plot when I say, hey, how's your encounter life with Christ, right? Not in a harsh or a hard way, but just imagine what our life will look, how much our life might look different if that is the case. Just imagine the fire, the wild felt fire in our midst. We have encounter upon encounter, not just to feel good and not to hoard that, but to share that and to live from that place. So two things just quickly. One morning I had a devotion and then I just read. I'm also reading through Acts at the moment. Well done, young man. I'm loving Acts, but this was part of my devotion. Acts 4, verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, the boldness that Cecilia also referred to, and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished or astounded. What was astonished? And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. So here's a couple of guys. They're not trained. They're not eloquent. They're not just these religious gurus. They're not just Steve Stunning with the anointing and the power. No, they're ordinary men. Edna referred to the disciples earlier. But what was the marking difference of these ordinary men? That very simply, but very profoundly, they had been with Jesus. Have you ever met a Christian that have been with Jesus? I have two accountability partners that often I can see in their lives they have been with Jesus. I want friends. I want friends that I can truly see have been with Jesus because they challenge me. And it rubs off on me. And so these guys needed not to say a word, but it was recognized and seen from other people that they had been with Jesus. Can we ask each other, can we look each other in the eye and say, may our lives be marked by this year? Not performing, not jumping through hoops, not being all eloquent, maybe just being common and boring as such, but may this one thing mark us, that they had been with Jesus. Just imagine the people. Just imagine rocking up on a Sunday and everybody had been with Jesus this week. Just imagine going to small group and clearly you guys have been with Jesus. And I believe we should be those people. Second testimony maybe. So in this beautiful holiday of ours, there was a couple of days, not too long, where we were wondering, are we having marital problems? Now all the visitors go like, whoop, whoop, whoop. So Edna and I, we were just like at loggerheads, hey? We are different apparently. Yes, yes, love, yes, yes. And so we had a couple of days where we krapperig. I don't know a good English word for krapperig. Who's ever been krapperig? Any married people ever been krapperig? Never. Ek moes vir jou gebel het, find a friend. Ai, ai, ai. Anyway, toe bid ek maar. Toe ek vir Albert gebel. And so we just like everything. We didn't have massive fallout, but just we were not lekker for each other. We didn't agree on this, didn't agree on that. There were no flow. And so we're like, we need to go see people. We need to go seriously see Anel together or something needs to change because this is not like, and even this is holiday. You don't do this on holiday. But anyway, so what I do is I go to God. I say, God, because I need to fix this marital problem because I want to enjoy my holiday. And I distinctly, as I just pray, Lord, what is wrong? What is wrong? I just distinctly sense the Lord drop in my spirit. You don't have a marriage issue. You have a God issue. You don't have a marriage issue. You have a God issue. I'm like, whoa. But immediately as the Spirit, where the Spirit speaks, the Spirit also gives revelation. I immediately knew we both were empty. If we had been with God in such a way that we encounter Him more, that we are more full of the Word, that the Spirit is strengthened in us, guess what? The rest of our lives will align, including what? Our marriage. So God just said, relax. We've got a problem, not the two of you. If the two of us are in a better space, the two of you are going to be in a better space. And I think, by the way, this is not just marital advice, this is life advice. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Love who firstly, foremostly, and with everything Him. If we love Him perfectly, guess what? We are great lovers of others. But if I suck at loving Him, I'm definitely going to suck at loving others. And so he was just saying, hey, you're struggling to love her because you're not loving me right. Oh, I was put in my place. But immediately, firstly, it helped me. I just sensed the burden lift, like I can fix this by the grace of God. I just need to be more in tune. I need to be more focused and love on God in such a way that I'm filled with His Spirit. And so likewise, I needed to get back to His presence. Now, I'm quickly possible as I can, just going to show you from Scripture, something that you already know, but something that maybe we need to be reminded of at the beginning of this year. This moment, this encounter, this presence people, this presence seeking heartbeat of mine is definitely not my idea. It is a God idea. Who of you firstly truly know and or believe that God wants to spend time with you in His presence? Do you know that? Because I believe that maybe some of us might think, well, no, not with me. And firstly, I believe the Lord wants to refute those lies today. God more desperately wants to spend time with you in His presence than you think you want to spend time with Him. That is very evident so if we look at Scripture. So we're going to look, you don't have to fly through the slides now, but we're going to look right from the beginning, and don't worry, it's going to be quick. We're going to look right from the beginning of creation, and with the fall, and in the Old Testament, and then with Christ's first coming, His birth, and with Christ's death, and not only that, then with Christ leaving again, promising us the Spirit, bringing us to the dispensation that we are in now, and then even looking forward to Christ's second coming, returning, and to eternity. Guess what? There's a beautiful golden thread showing that God's presence, God's relational presence with His people is all throughout His plan. So here's a beautiful way to refute the lie, to go against dead religion. It's to say, but this has been His plan all along. His plan for you this year is to do life with you. And you cannot prove me wrong. Scripturally, I would say. What a great thing to think about. How amazing is that? That God, since the beginning of time, up until eternity, desperately wants to do life with you. Here's the thing. He wants to do it on His terms, not ours. Not our cultural terms, not our fleshly terms, and definitely not demonic terms. So please, let's not get too excited. There's a holiness and righteous factor to this as well. What Dad, we played there, wherever we were, I just tried to like get everybody together. Let's do something fun and let's play a game. Let's bribe. And sometimes it just goes haywire. Pietri knows what I'm talking about. But I desperately wanted to spend time with my kids. How much more would a perfect God, perfect Father want to spend time with us? So the ball proverbially is in our court because he's a good dad and he wants to spend time with you. Quickly, creation and the fall. Adam and Eve. God made them and what did he do? He walked the garden with them. This is just after they had fallen, unfortunately. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Just imagine walking in your garden, hearing God walking in your garden. John, would you have a bit of a fright? Not at all. Great, because you've got Jesus. You don't need fig leaves. And he's not a sinner. Hallelujah. He's a righteous man. But I would think it's quite interesting if you hear God walking in the garden. But here's the thing. It's the Maker. Our Maker. Walking with Adam and Eve. And obviously, he knew what was up. And he said, in himself, from the presence of the Lord God among the trees in the garden. And so we know what happens from there. They had to hide themselves from his presence. But from the offset, he said, I want to do life with you. I want to walk with you. I want to spend relational time with you in my presence. They had everything, so to speak. What happens then? We know sin enters, it gets broken. And then even in the Old Testament, by God's grace, when he comes and shows us the picture of Christ coming, he goes and he reaches out and he saves Israel, his people. Exodus. What does he do then? He says, come with me. Moses, stuttering Moses, killing Moses, as you said, come with us. I'm going to lead you. How does he lead them? He leads them with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. God is again what? Presence. He's got a presence plan, even in the Old Testament, where he says, I'm with you. I go before you. I go ahead of you. So he can speak and prophesy into 2024. I'm going ahead of you. It's always been my heart. So he takes them out. He takes them out up to the promised land. And so we don't have time to go through everything. But then he knows that he does not only want to spend time with Israel. He wants to spend time with everybody under the sun. And so he, again, what? Relational plan. Sends Jesus. God incarnate. He sends himself. And so with Jesus' birth, the following we can read. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Jumping a couple of verses, because Joseph said, oh, what now? What should I do? Should I divorce her? But then angel said, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken through by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him what? Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So right at his birth, God echoes his plan. I want to be with you. I want to be with you. I want you to know that I want to be present with you. I want to do life with you. So he sends God incarnate, his son, for 33 years, called Emmanuel, God with us. Again, crystal clear. Then even as the 33 years, you might say, well, maybe it ended there. No, at the end of the 33 year, at his death, he what? He does, he gives us the Great Commission. Again, echoing God's plan. His presence plan. He wants to relationally work with his people. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. So at Jesus' birth and at his death, he echoes, hey, God has got a relational plan for mankind. But they love to turn their backs. They love to harden their hearts. Sin and the enemy would love to corrupt that constantly. And guys, I want to say, let's ask the Lord to come and shake off the corruption of sin. Shake off the corruption of our carnality. God relationally wants to walk with you daily, and that will change our lives. Then our dispensation now, the Holy Spirit gets poured out in Acts. And there you've got a couple of verses just to say, for this time, Jesus answered, John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Guys, how often do you meditate on the fact that God's home is in you? Do you meditate on that? Do you sometimes feel like he's not at home?
Die ligte is aan, maar is niemand by die huis nie.
Does it ever feel like that? If we as Christians just meditate on this truth even so much more, imagine the empowerment of the Lord's Holy Spirit, knowing that He lives inside us. We can't go through all of them, but there's lots and lots of others. And then lastly, the return of Christ. When He comes back, it says in Acts 3:21, heaven must receive Him until the time comes from God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. So Jesus says, I'm going back. I leave you the Holy Spirit, God with us, but I'm coming back for you. He is coming back for us. And John 14:1-3, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go, I prepare a place for you. I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So just quickly, if we should derive the truth for today from there, is this Christ saying, I'm going, leaving you the Holy Spirit, also God, part of the Trinity, but guess what? I'm coming back. We're taking a very rough bird's eye view of the whole of Scripture, but everywhere there's beacons of light echoing this truth. Karike, John, Edna, Annelies, I want to spend time with you. I want to do life with you. I want you to experience my presence. I want to walk with you. Who of you would like to walk life more with God in this reality? Because here's the thing, we need to live it. It's one thing to know it. We can walk out there, wow, cool, and then just go on. But we need to live this. Here's the thing, our highest call is fellowship and walking with Him daily. We get all fancy when it comes to vision. We want to boom, ja, pull, da, da, da. Skiri licht uit, as Debbie would say. But sometimes we get the very primary truths of the gospel and the fact that we are called to walk with the Lord. That we are called to walk with Him. We need to live that. So I sneakily took that, and now she's here today, but I took a screenshot of something she posted because it so spoke to me. Corrie Asbury said, I want to reach for God the way I reach for my phone. Imagine this year you reach to God the way that you reach for your phone. It was an awful weird silence, but anyway. When I'm bored, when I'm uncomfortable, when I need answers or entertainment, when I'm lonely and need somebody to talk to. Imagine we reach out to God the way we reach out to our phones. Maybe we become more aware of Him than making money. Maybe we become more aware of Him than paying bills. Maybe we become more aware of Him than what other people might think. Second thing, quickly, we need to choose, guys. In 2024, you want to experience more of the Lord's presence, you need to choose. Mary and Martha, Luke 10:41 says, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried about and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. It is something you need to choose. It is something you need to choose, like Mary had to choose. She had to choose the better part. Say, Lord, I want to spend time with you. I'm reading a book. It's a very, very thick book. I love reading, as you can see. I hijacked it from Edna. I'm like, this is the smallest book in the house. I'm going to try to finish this one. But it's a good one. The Practice of the Presence of God, Brother Lawrence. And he passed away in 1691. But it's beautiful. Big letters. Written to other people about seeking the presence of God. Very simply, daily. Seeking God. Loving on God. Seeking God, realizing something came up in his heart that is hindering him from God, dealing with it, seeking God. And you might think, wow, that's so old school. But guess what? Sometimes we maybe need a bit more of old school. And so he says in this, amongst other things, to be with him, we must cultivate the holy habit of thinking of him often. So very simply, what do you think of often? What do you think of often?
They say what you eat, you become, or who you eat, you are. No, they didn't say that. That's another sect down the road. I don't know. But they say you are what you eat. But more than that, you are what you meditate on. And so we want to meditate. We want to be a people about His presence. We need to think about Him more. And it's not something you can squeeze. You're just like, Lord, I want to love on You more. I want to walk out that command. Help me to think about You more. So these days I go to the mall, and the mall is all consuming to me for various reasons. It's just not a lucky place always to be. But I've realized I don't go back home saying, God, please save me. I walk in the mall and I'm just like, Lord, I become aware that You're here. I become more aware of Your presence. Maybe some of you sitting right here in church, they say, Lord, I choose to become more aware of Your presence. So, Lord, I become more aware of that Your Holy Spirit is with me and You can minister to me. That You want to be with me. This is Your relational plan. Please help me to be wise in the more. Lord, help me to do what I need to do and get out. And so at work you can do that. In the car you can do that. Quickly, how do we see His presence and experience His presence? There's three things that we need. We need His Word. Guys, you're not going to experience the Lord if you hardly ever get into the Word of God. If you're not going to plan to get into the Word of God this year, you're not going to experience the truthful presence of God. It's not a tick box exercise, it's not performance, but it's a washing. The Word is what? It is a sword. It washes. It comes and dissects. It severs us from the things of this world. It helps our mind. It washes us clean, and it helps the Holy Spirit then to echo the truth to us. Secondly, we need the Spirit of God. And thirdly, we need His body. We need the church. We need to be equipped, and we need other people that are on fire. Three things just below that. You want true freedom this year? Seek His presence. For where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Secondly, there's life where He is. May He lead us. And then lastly, there's something called sin. We need to deal with sin. You can't do all of these other things that I've shared. Petri, would you mind just coming up, please? You can't do all of these things that I've said, but there's undealt sin in your life. God does not take lightly on sin. He's gracious, He's amazing, but we need to deal with those things, because in righteousness we can experience His presence. Will you stand with me? I'm going to pray for us. Lord, I thank You that Your plan is that You want to be present to us, yet often our plan is to be present to other things. Lord, I thank You that Your plan, from the beginning of time up into eternity, Your plan is that You want to be present with Your people. That's Your heart's cry. We can see it through Scripture. Yet we are often present to other things. If you were convicted today that you are more present to other things than to God, very simply want to repent, just raise your hand. We don't want to beat around the bush. We just want to take it head on and say, Lord, yes, this is so. I'm aware of other things and not of You. Just hands up. Hallelujah. Thank You for all of these hands, Lord. Very simply in Your own words, just say, Lord, I repent. I want to turn away. I want to turn away from other things that steal my affection, that steals my love, ultimately steals my presence to be present in Your presence. Turn me back to Your plan. Bring me back to Your plan, Lord. Thank You, Lord, as we repent, Scripture says that You bring times of refreshing in Your presence. Hallelujah. As You take away those idols, as You take away those things that so easily entangle us, we turn and return to Your presence, and then the Word says in Acts, we are refreshed. So to those that repented, Lord, I pray for a refreshing now. Through the Holy Spirit, may refreshing come in times in Your presence. And not only refreshing, but Psalm 16:11 promises us that in Your presence is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Imagine that, refreshing and fullness of joy. That sounds like a holiday altogether in the presence of God. And then a simple prayer, but a profound prayer. If you want to be more aware of Him daily and walk with Him, just want to ask Him for that. As children, just put up your hand. We're going to pray. Lord, I thank You for these hands. saying that I want to be more aware of you daily and I want to walk with you. They were uncommon men, not highly skilled and trained, but yet it was said about them, they had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And so, Lord, for us that raise our hands, we very simply say, thank you. Make me aware daily. Take away whatever needs to be taken away. I want to be more aware of your plan than the plans of our culture. And I want to walk and do life with you because that's going to bless every single thing in my life. And more than that, I want you for you. And we thank you for that. If that's your heart's cry, to say amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you for that and we ask for your grace upon us this week. That we will have times of refreshing and encounters in your presence. Come and arrest our hearts that this will not just be a mere message. Arrest our hearts, arrest our schedules. Help us and lead us to be a people that lives from your presence unto your presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.